Good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are. We were praying about what am I to do next, and actually a people of one, and they said that since I'm about ready to leave planet Earth, oh, I'm only 90. I'm just a kid. Okay. If I would share, what have I learned in these years of walking with God? Because really, the Lord gave me an unbelievable life. So I want to share with you how I became a believer, maybe some things that will help you in sharing your faith with others. And in an organization, I'll mention it many times probably, but an organization that really not only got my feet really founded in Christ, but really got me founded in Scripture. And so, a little of this some of you have heard before, but a lot of it you have not. So, what happened was, I was born in New Rockford, North Dakota. And this was during the Depression, and so we were a Depression family. Dad's out of work. There's two children, me and my wonderful sister. My dad needed to go where there was work. And so what we've heard in part of the family was there was Los Angeles. It was a new area opening up and there was a lot of job opportunities. So the family packed everything they could in the car, and that was it. We went off to California from North Dakota to my dad to get a job, and that's basically where I would go and be educated. Well, when we finally found a place that we could afford to rent, my dad had a job, there was absolutely no church walkable. And the idea of getting in a car and driving to church was not during the Depression. You don't use gas like that. We only used the car once a week. And we took a wagon to go to the grocery store. We pulled the wagon back with my mom's groceries. And this was way back. A long time ago, you don't see a kid pulling a wagon from a grocery store with the sacks in it. Well, so I grew up in a good home, but not a religious home. And then, as the years went by, alcohol entered our family, and you are from an alcoholic family, I understand. It is horrible. And to watch the family deteriorate because of liquor. So, you know, I mean, it was drinking only a little bit here, a little bit there, and then more and more and more. By the time I graduated from high school, my relationships with my father especially had disintegrated to absolutely nothing. And I felt very sorry for my mother, putting up with it. But I learned something from my mother. Remember one day she was lying in bed and my sister and I were at the house and I was a senior in high school. My sister was a couple of grades under. And my mom was in bed and suffering from these horrible headaches she'd get, which I think was just the way she dealt with all the drinking and the awfulness of what was going on. And I told my mom, because I was a senior that year, I said, "Mom, why don't you leave him and I'll quit school and get a job and earn money so that we could be more of a family." My mom always had a job. And my mom said something to me that I thought was strange, but I don't now, but I was thinking, how do we get out of this mess? And she said, "Jim, I married your father for better or worse. And right now it's worse. I'm not leaving." My mom told me in that breath that she believed in the permanency of marriage. And that even though she was background as Lutheran, and even went to a Lutheran college. I never saw my mom read the Bible. She may have. We always had to say our prayers and the God bless grandma and grandpa and all of that at the end. I wasn't totally removed from spirituality, but not really a biblical family. Well, as I got out of high school seeking what I'm going to do with my life, I got in wonderful training at Cedars Sinai Hospital, the big Jewish hospital in Hollywood. And I was trained as an x-ray technician. We spent a year in training, and then we went to the junior college and studied the blood, hematology, and all that stuff to put the two together, x-ray and lab technician. So now here I am, out of high school. I've got an occupation or training for an occupation. I'm not totally through all the training yet. And I was on Colorado Boulevard. And Colorado Boulevard, you know it, but you don't. That's where the Rose Parade is. So every year, you see where I was saved. Because it was on that boulevard that I was witness to. I never met a Christian before, but I met a Christian, and this Christian was in a weird group called the Navigators, which I had no idea what that meant. That meant these guys were memorizing the Bible. That's what it means. Really, teenagers and college-age kids really anchored in the Word of God. Thank God for that. And they began to witness to me. And witness is a term you don't hear so much today, but it was so common in that if you have faith, you're supposed to share it with people and look for ways to bring it up in a conversation and so on. So these Navigators were trained in that. And so they were witnessing to me to death. I mean, every time we got together, they talked about the Lord and how God answers prayer. And they were sharing what was going on in their life and people who had accepted the Lord. And it was a really a wonderful experience. I didn't fully understand everything they were saying, but it sounded okay. Because they were really nice people. Really nice. And these were all guys, college age guys, that I came in contact with. Well, we're coming to the important part of what I'm talking about today. How did I, from a non-church person, a non-Christian, not an anti-Christian, but a non-Christian, become a Christian? You know, how did that take place? Well, it's God. God knew that going to the schools I were going to, they were both in Hollywood, that I was going to come in contact with these guys who went to colleges and stuff, but they were involved with a group called the Navigators, which was to go out and share Christ. That's just what they did. And so I liked them because I didn't have to clean out my ears after talking with them. You know, it was, I couldn't believe it. These are guys that are not swearing, they're not cursing, they're not telling dirty stories. I didn't know there was anybody like that anymore. But they were, and they talked about the Lord, and they would talk about who they talked to and why that person was struggling with the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that kind of stuff. So it was wonderful to be around them, and I was around them on the weekends because I didn't have school. Well, one of them picked me out to be his focus, which I didn't know. I mean, he was very, very good, very friendly, and began to share with me. And he shared Christ and, you know, asked me if I was a Christian, and I didn't think I was a heathen, so maybe I was. There's two choices, I'll think, that I'm a Christian. But I wasn't a Christian, but I'm hearing about Christ. I'm hearing about changed lives. I'm hearing about answers to prayer. And it was amazing. I mean, these guys were just my age, and they were so far down the spiritual road. And finally, the fellow said, would you like to talk about our relationship? Because he said a little things about the Lord and all, but I wasn't, if he asked me, are you a Christian, I'd probably say, well, I'm not a heathen, so I must be. But what was wonderful, he said, I will disciple you. And I said, what's a disciple? He said, that's what Jesus had. And these are people that listened to what he said, applied it to their lives, and wanted to follow a different lifestyle. Well, I saw what my father's lifestyle led to, a very sad home. So this really grabbed me that somehow I could be changed. And, I mean, I was being educated, so I could take your x-ray, I could draw your blood, and I could tell you if you were anemic or not, and so on, but it had nothing to do with spirituality. So, he said, would you like me to disciple you? I said, what does that mean? He said, I'd like to spend time with you and to share Bible stuff with you. I said, oh, I'd like that. Because I didn't know anybody that knew anything about the Bible stuff, so it'd be interesting. And so he gave me something like this. This is the new one. Remember, I go back 91 years old or however old I am. I go back a long ways to 20. But it was very similar inside of our verses. Well, I don't know if he knew what I was like, if the Lord revealed it to him or whatever, but this has Bible verses in it. But he didn't give me the whole thing. He gave me one verse. That was it. I got this one, it tears out of the book, and he gave me this verse, and the verse was assurance of salvation. Well, obviously, I did not have assurance of salvation. And I began to memorize this verse. And I mean, here I'm learning all about the blood and different blood diseases and all this stuff. But I can't learn scripture. It's unbelievable. It's like I'm reading these textbooks that are really difficult, and I'm understanding them. But a Bible verse, a simple Bible verse, just went over my head. I couldn't get it. And he would talk to me. That's why he gave me one. Because I would have gone through all five. Okay, I've read them. Now what are we going to do? He said, I want you to memorize it word perfectly. I'm going, that should be easy, but it wasn't. I mean, I didn't know there was an enemy, too, that was working against me for understanding. But the verse that he gave me is, this is the record that God has given us eternal life. This life is in Jesus. He that hath Jesus hath life. He that hath not Jesus has no life. So he asked me, where am I? Life or no life? I said, well, I'm living. But I think what this is saying is I haven't got it over here. I'm living, but I really don't have that life. And he said, would you like to have that life? I said, oh, I would. And the reason I would is because of you guys. I'm watching you guys, the same, you know, you're just my age, and yet, you have to be careful of my language around you guys. I shouldn't have to be, you're college guys. But you never said anything. But when I would drop a word, it was like an arrow in your heart. So, I mean, they were a blessing. They challenged me without challenging me. Just the way they lived, they walked, and they talked, and I wanted to be like them. Because they looked at peace, and I didn't have peace with the upset in the family and everything. And not knowing what I was going to do the rest of my life and all of that. Well, I began to memorize that verse. And I just couldn't get it. I never memorized any verse harder than that verse. Because it had to be word perfect. So I'd memorize it. I'd carry the verse in my pocket. When I would come home, I had two aunts that lived behind us in a little house. And they'd walk through our house to go to their house after work. And I made them look at my verse while I tried to quote it, and I wasn't getting it right. And I said, that's not right. You're not getting it right. And I go, how can anything be so hard as a little dinky verse for me to get word perfect? Because if it wasn't word perfect, he would not give me another one. I couldn't go on. And so I kept going and going, and he said, well, why don't you, do you have the Son? I said, I hope so. He said, well, this really isn't a hope so. I said, well, I think so. He says, this is not a think so. Either you do or you don't. It's not like I'm close. I was closer than I knew. But because I kept trying to memorize this verse, and I get the first line okay, and the second line wouldn't be okay, and I'd work on the second line, I'd go back to the first line, it wasn't okay anymore. I mean, it was unbelievable. I thought, memorizing the Bible is impossible. You know, I can memorize books on blood and everything, but I can't memorize Bible verses. Anyway, I struggled and struggled and struggled, and I'm coming to something that is very important for you, especially if you want to lead people to Christ. And, you know, sharing your faith is one thing, but leaving them hanging isn't going to do anything. You've got to cultivate a desire through the Holy Spirit, praying for them, that they would want to receive Christ. Well, so that's what this lesson today is about. It's about receiving Christ and the assurance of that salvation, having that assurance. Well, I wanted to receive Christ, and he told me what I needed to do is to pray that prayer, and just take that verse and make it a little prayer, and pray that and ask God to come into my life and to change me and so on. So, I thought, okay, I'll do that. Because you say your prayers before you go to bed, so I wouldn't be praying while it's daylight. I have to wait till I go to bed. So I did go to bed, and I used this verse. In fact, that basically was my prayer. He that hath the Son hath life. So, he that hath not Son of God hath not life. So, I prayed and asked the Lord to come into my life and to change me, and I wanted to be a Christian. Well, I did that. I prayed that. In the sad part, nothing happened. And I'm going, I don't know what I expected. So the next day, I met with my navigator friend, and I said, you know, I prayed that prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into my life and change me. And I said, you know what? And he said, what? He said, nothing happened. And he said, what did you expect? Angels? Or music? Or something, you know? But nothing happened. Well, it did happen, but I didn't realize. It was not like I was, you know, like Paul, blinded on a horse. But mine was not. And later on, as we talked about it, God knew me. And you could pray the same prayer that I prayed, and maybe you say, oh, it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I'm going, well, nothing happened when I did it. Maybe I didn't say the words right, or cross myself or something. But what was interesting is I was looking for an experience and not truth. And he saw that. He said, Jim, that you've got to believe the word. That's the issue. God says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? I don't know. I said, well, did you ask Jesus to come into your life? Yes, I did. And did he tell you no? No? Well, I didn't have any emotional experience. I mean, this is, we're dealing with God and angels. All of this, I expected some really emotional experience. He said, if you ask Jesus to come into your life, would he come? Yeah, I think he would. So, does he have to come with the orchestra? Or marching band? Or whatever. See, that's what I was looking for. And God knew. I'm so thankful because he picked on it right away. He says, you're looking for an experience, not for Jesus. And I thought, that's right. You know, I wanted something that I could feel. And I would base it on my feelings. Okay. Now, if you're one that's listening, and you prayed, and you had my experience, nothing happened. Feelable? Why? God knew that basically I'm a feeling person. I mean, you've heard me speak, you know, I am a feeling person. I just am. And God said, if I give this kid a feeling, as soon as the feeling is gone, God's gone too. I have to receive him over again to try to get that feeling back rather than the truth. See, the truth sets you free, not emotions. So, I needed to learn that before I went into the ministry and became a pastor. And, because I began to understand, just like this navigator did, that I had to believe what the word said, not feel what the word said. If you get feelings, I'm not anti-feelings, but I know for me, the worst thing could happen is feelings, because as soon as the feelings went away, I'd have to get saved all over again to get the feeling back. And you're not saved by feelings, you're saved by grace. It's a work of God, not of man, lest any man should boast. So, this idea of salvation is different with people. God works with us as individuals, we're not the same. I have worked with people that I learned that be sure to have it on my desk, Kleenex, because their nose runs and their eyes are running and they're praying to receive Jesus and I mean, it's a mess. I better have Kleenex. I learned from this one person whose nose was running all over his hands and was running his hands on my desk. You're on my desk! But, you know, we're individuals. And God deals with us individually, as individuals. My salvation experience is not the same, I'm sure, as Paul's, who's sitting here. Paul's parents being missionaries, and Paul's dad being an inventor of all kinds of water stuff. His home was totally different than mine. His mother was no better than my mother. My mother was wonderful. But Paul's mom has all the support in the world from her husband, which my mom had nothing. So, the assurance of salvation is important. So, when I told the fellow, when he asked me, why do I say nothing happened, is there was no feelings. And I've told you, I've led people to Christ that had emotions running all over the place. Why didn't God allow me to have some kind of an emotional feeling? Because he knew that I'd based my experience on the feelings, not on truth. And God knew me. And he said, I can't give this guy any feelings. It'll destroy him. It'll destroy his faith. He'll be going here and there everywhere to get an experience rather than Christ. So I don't know of your salvation experience. When I told my navigator friend that I prayed nothing happened, he said, what'd you expect? Well, I didn't expect nothing. After all, God, I'm coming to you. You know how hard it is for me to humble myself and go to you, and you don't do anything. And so God knew that for me, an experience had been the worst thing. That either I was going to believe he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. And if I ask the Son to come into my life, he's going to come. He doesn't have to come with tears or emotions. He does that with people, but he knows who we are. So, I'm trying to think of the words exactly. The exact words that I was going to call my handler, it sounds awful, but the navigator guy that was guiding me, he told me, when you go to bed tonight, why don't you thank God for saving you? He says, you can pray that prayer from now forever because God is not going to give you an emotional feeling. It's based on God says, he that hath the Son hath life. Not he that hath this feeling. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So why don't you pray and ask, thank God for giving you his Son when you pray. So I did. I went to bed and I went to bed and I thanked God for answering that prayer and coming into my life. And I went to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, it was like waking up in heaven. God gave me an emotional experience. Not when I prayed, but later on, the assurance of, hey, you're alright. I can trust you now with the emotional feeling. And it was really wonderful. And I, years have thanked the Lord because I could have gone off always seeking some type of a experience rather than seeking him. So, on our huge staff that we have, we have a huge staff of 2.5 people reaching the world. In fact, Paul said, in one day we had 26,000 people looking at our stuff. We're so thankful. You know, we're out nowhere. I mean, really. And our office doesn't have neon lights all over it. You're finally here or whatever. No, we're just kind of a mom and pop kind of organization. But God has blessed us. So, I want to share with you, and I think this is important. In fact, I know it's so important when Paul was listening to a church, R.T. Kendall, and I knew of him, and I knew he was a wonderful man. At the end of the service, R.T. Kendall gave an invitation for Christ. And so Paul was so impressed with the simplicity but the beauty of it, he brought it over for me to hear. And I heard that invitation that he gave at a service. Not an emotional one, you know, working up people's emotions. I believe it was one of the most beautiful invitations I've ever heard someone give someone to receive Christ. It so spoke to my heart that I asked Paul that as soon as I sign off, that he would put it at the end, that you may hear it, and hear how you don't have to have, you know, the hellfire, damnation, and holding on to the seat, that you're going to drop into hell if you don't pray. And I know that works for some people or whatever, but that was not me. But I think when you hear this invitation, you may want to download it yourself and share it with family, a Bible study group would be just, oh, that was beautiful. That, it means a lot to me. So, I'm going to end with a little prayer because, so Father, I pray, as we're going to listen to R.T. Kendall, that you would use that if there are people who have never trusted you as they hear the beautiful invitation to come to you, that they would come. And that people would come to know you through this video. That knowing you and walking with you is two different things. There are people, Lord, I know that are trying to walk with you and they don't even know you. So I ask that you would speak to hearts. If there are those that are listening that have never trusted you, that you would call them into your family. That they could say, I have the Son and I have new life. In Jesus' name, amen.
But I asked a question a while ago. I ask it again. Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Do you? Do you know that? And if you were to stand before God, you will. And He were to ask you, He might. Why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Imagine you're standing there before God. And by the way, you'll stand alone. You're not going to have your best friend to support you. You're not going to have a Christian to whisper in your ear, here's what you should say. Nobody to coach you. And you've got to give the answer why God should let you in. And by the way, there is an answer. And if you give that answer, you're in. You know what the answer is? What comes to your mind? What would you say? To be honest, what would you say to God? If it doesn't cross your mind by now, say, because Jesus died for me, if that doesn't cross your mind, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for anything in the world. But all that can change. It can change right now. Before I sit down, I want to give you a prayer to pray. If you can pray this prayer and mean it, you can know. You can know that when you die, you go to heaven. I want you to say this prayer. You don't need to say it out loud. God will see you. If you're not sure that if you died tonight that you'd go to heaven, just pray it right now. These words. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm sorry for my sins. Wash my sins away by your blood. I welcome your Holy Spirit to come into my heart. And as best as I know how, I give you my life. That's it. That's the prayer. Did you pray that prayer? I think possibly somebody here, you prayed that prayer. Did you? Question, are you ashamed that you prayed that prayer? You say, why do you ask, R.T.? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He said, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I'm going to give you a chance to confess it. Not going to ask you to make a speech, but to show everybody in this room that you prayed that prayer. I'm going to ask you 10 seconds from now to stand up. Say, in front of all these people? Yep. You say, well, they'll know I had to pray that prayer. Who cares? God is watching. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to stand up right now. I'm finished. I'll turn it over to Pastor, whoever. God bless you.